and welcome to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. It is now time for the Pastor's Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. I am Scott Spears, filling in for Terry Tackett. We are joined now by the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship. Always a pleasure to talk with him, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
I'm great, Terry, and how are you?
Doing well. How are things in your neck of the woods?
Well, doing everything remotely like this. I noticed last week on the broadcast, though, my end was down a little, and I don't think you can help that with the phone, can you?
You know what? It sounds better. I noticed that last week myself.
Excuse me.
But you're definitely coming in louder this week. I don't know what that was last week, but it's better this week.
Well, that's just great. Well, I'll tell you, it's good to be with you all this morning. We're living in some trying times, it looks like, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because to speak to you about this morning on my show, I had Tracy Kinsler, the health commissioner, on, and I'm glad she was as frank and as honest as she was, but she basically said that we're waiting for the bulge in this curve of COVID-19. It will probably happen sometime in May, and to be quite frank, she said we do not have enough ventilators, and we're not going to have enough at this point, and decisions are going to have to be made. She didn't want to frighten people, but she was brutally honest, and that was very hard to hear, I think, for a lot of people.
I know, and what makes it hard, too, is that we get so many, you know, mixed signals from some that say we do and some say we won't. You know, it really, we won't if the bulge is too big of a bulge, and if it's not that big of a bulge, we would. You know, it's one of those things, you know, it's very easy to, and I certainly don't mean by any means to refer to her when I say this, because of her position and what she obviously knows and doesn't know, and what information she is privy to that none of the rest of us, I sure probably are, or probably, I'm sure, are not. But there's so many, I have seen so many armchair quarterbacks out there that people that are not even in the field that are such experts on this stuff, supposedly, with the things they put out there. And I really wish that people would sit back and listen to the people in the healthcare field and listen to them, what they're saying. I've seen so many different posts about, oh, this is a big political, you know, thing, and it's not as bad as it looks. You know, when you talk to the people and see what's really going on with people that have lost people, and in the way they're losing them, yeah, this is a serious thing.
Well, last night, one of the employees, one of the well-known employees at the OSU Wexner Medical Center, died from this illness. And we are not anywhere near the peak yet.
Yeah, I know. And you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, people say, well, this flu killed this many, or this flu killed that many. And the truth is, most flus that we get during the flu season, the number of people they kill that pass from that are either very elderly or really compromised health-wise in some other form. And that's, you know, when this first came out, they said that's basically the group that it was going to affect. And we're seeing now that there's a much younger group of people that are beginning to get this thing, and seriously get this thing. So I think it would be wise for everyone to heed the warnings that they hear, and to what's wrong with, first of all, if you're not an essential worker, and why do you really need to be out and about and gathering? Isn't that a good question?
Well, it is, and you know, near as I can tell, the essential worker plan that was laid out by the governor covered a lot of businesses, and these businesses have decided to stay open, and I'm not really sure how that works. If your business is open and you decide not to come to work, I don't know if they would fire you. I don't know if you could get unemployment. It's a very precarious situation because we've never been in it.
I think when it came down to it, you know, all these things have hearings, right?
Yeah.
And, or can have, usually, or they can be put in that position to have a hearing. And I really feel that if in any hearing you would go to, I think you would have a leg to stand on, let's put it that way.
I would hope so, and I also hope that transfers over to people, you know, the first of the month is tomorrow, who are not going to be able, possibly, to pay their rent. You know, I hope there are no evictions.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to be a landlord that evicted somebody that was in that situation. And I think that there will be, once again, that's something that you can do. There's a hearing on. And if you put it into a case where there was a hearing, well, all of those things are delayed anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when it's tied up, they can't do anything until there's a hearing. Well, there's not going to be any hearing. So, you know, and I think by the time you come out the other end, I think that a lot of people would be reasonable. But you got to look at it on the other end, too, if that's something that, you know, it's such a chain reaction. You know, I talked to someone the other day that thought that their business was definitely going to go under. Well, are there things in place that will keep the people that would bring his business under from doing that? I don't know. We're in uncharted territory here.
Well,
very uncharted territory.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think one thing that's causing the worry and also maybe why people are still going out is because we don't know. We've never been down this road. We don't know what the end looks like. It's different almost in every other situation because no matter how careless we act, we've seen the end result before. None of us have seen the end result of anything like this. And maybe that's the problem.
No, really, that happened. You know, there's another aspect of this that I'd like to mention that's really causing great stress in a lot of families and difficulty is last week I did a funeral. And, you know, it had to be the viewing was just immediate family for a short period of time. And then there was a graveside service that was very, very, it's limited in the people that you know are going to come. And we were at the hospital the other night. My sister-in-law took a turn for the worse. She'd been battling cancer for 11 years and ended up with a pneumonia. And long story short, she was coming towards the end. We went in to see her, and she passed away at 10:15 that next morning. No, excuse me, that next night. But, you know, with the arrangements being made, it's hard because, you know, you have to have a limited amount of people that can see her, and the family has to make decisions on that. And then there's also the situation where there's, you know, there's going to be a graveside service, and it'll be wonderful, it'll be great, but I think families everywhere are struggling with just how to send off their loved ones, and whether the whole closure situation. You know, we're used to going to funerals where you have videos and pictures of family, and it's a time where you not only have great grief, but you can have warmth there also, with the things that are there to watch and see. You've been to me, you understand what I mean. And that's just not happening. It's not going to happen for some time. And, you know, that's something that there's so many mitigating circumstances to all this whole thing, the collateral issues that come into effect. And to touch so many lives in so many ways is quite difficult. The genuine fear of some of the elderly. We're still trying to do meals. We did 60 last Friday. They went out on Saturday. And, you know, you get to the point of, okay, how many people do we feel safe even coming in to do meals, to get them together? Where have you been? You know, that whole scenario. And one thing I do, I'm going to give you a chance to speak, Scott. What do you think on any of this? And then there's something else I want to talk about.
No, it's this is very important, and to hear the emotion in your voice and know that you've lost a family member during this, of course, we express our condolences to you, and to hear that it's happening firsthand, and you have not only seen it from the planning side, but you've seen it from the other side. One thing I think that's getting lost in all of this, and it's one thing that happened very early, was the nursing homes. You cannot go in. If you have a loved one in a nursing home right now, and I understand why they're doing it, but you cannot go in. And, you know, we're getting to 3 weeks, and this is going to last a while. There's Alzheimer's patients, there's dementia patients, there's people who are on hospice. Wives can't see their husbands. Husbands can't see their wives, fathers, mothers. That is not getting talked about enough in my estimation, and I don't know if one of these people took a turn for the worse. They are elderly and they aren't well. What would happen? I'm sure you'd get a call, but I don't think you could go in. What would you do?
Well, I'll tell you, I can answer that, because that's exactly what happened with my sister-in-law. She did have, she was having some issues that came on pretty, well, they were long-term, but anyway, they got to an acute stage. And they did have the, you know, the phone call and whatnot, and transfer to the hospital, and so that's how that happened. And then, of course, we were able to have three people go in and see her. We had to dress up like astronauts to go in, because they didn't know for sure what everything is, and you know, just all that, you know. And there were family members, sadly enough, there were family members that could not go in, and had to do a video chat to see her, and give her her children, a couple of them, to say goodbye. And it's very difficult. But back to the nursing home thing, I think that one of the things that I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because one of the things that concerns me greatly with the nursing home is that these people, some of them, live to see a family member that stops in. The little things that come into them from family members. And, you know, my sister-in-law's case, she was in there for rehab. She wasn't in there long-term. It's so depressing to these people. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, they were even, they even locked them down. They're not allowed out of their rooms. And all of a sudden, it's like you go from being in a care facility, which is confining enough, but maybe every day you live for going out in the social area of the room and conversing with others, and all of a sudden you're locked in a 9x10 room or a 9x12 or whatever it might be room, and you're not allowed out of the room. I mean, the depression amongst the people working there is unbelievable, and you know, it's something we're lifting up in a great deal of prayer, but there's nothing we can do about that. I also you know, I've seen so much about the healthcare workers, and we have family that are, I don't want to go into detail on that, but we have family that are, and quite frankly, some of them are scared to death to go into work. And you know, the interesting thing too, I mentioned, you know, how you have to suit up to see people, but you know, the thing about, we talk about the PPE, the protective wear that everyone needs. Think, well, you know, why is it? Is it just increased because of the amount of patients? No, that's not it. There's so much that has to be worn and discarded. I'm so glad that Governor DeWine pushed and got that sterilization process through, and that they're going to be able to sterilize and reuse so much of this stuff. Because, you know, they were just burning through it. I mean, every time you walk in a room, every time a nurse walks in a room, she's got to put all this stuff on, or a doctor, and then they walk out, they got to take it off and go about what they were doing. Then when they go back into a, what we'll say, a hot room, a room where maybe it's suspected or maybe they have it, they got to put it all back on again. And those are just, these people are going home to families, and they're scared to death, especially, I think, as we see more and more on the news about younger people succumbing to this. And it's just a really scary situation.
It absolutely.
There's one thing I do. Go ahead.
Oh,
Scott.
No, I just, I look at those pictures from New York, and to see four or five people in Central Park and one person on the Brooklyn Bridge, I mean, it's unbelievable. This didn't happen in war times.
Did you see the thing that they were showing where a lot of wild animals are starting to move back into rural areas, or back into not rural areas, but the suburban areas and cities, because there's no people outside.
Oh, it's
it's just so many bizarre things. It's almost apocalyptic. I mean, everyone always has discussions about what ifs and what ifs and what ifs, but you really don't think it's going to happen, and then it does. But one thing I want to bring up today, because I don't want to get time to go away and not have time to address this, and I think it's a very important thing to address, and I'm going to might take some heat over this, but I don't really care. You know me, I say what's on my mind anyway. And that is, you know, we're starting to see where there's some churches that are getting in trouble for meeting. And most recently, there was a pastor in Florida that was arrested. There was a, I saw a guy being interviewed that was still having church the other day and explaining why he did. Now, I know that I know the First Amendment, and I understand that, and I know that we stand by our Constitution. This is a very serious time. I shared yesterday, I think that there are more people right now going to church via video, via watching the stuff on that's being put out there every day, and listening than there were before this. And the Bible says, here's something that's being used a lot in this, and it's in Hebrews, okay? And, excuse me, my mind just went blank. Anyway, we'll keep talking. In verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10, I had to find it real quick. I didn't want to miss a word. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's very important, right?
Absolutely.
Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is one manner of some, but exhorting one another to do so much more as you see the day approaching. Let me read that again. I was kind of disjointed. Not forsaking an assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And the day approaching, as they're talking about, the return of the Lord approaching. Well, that has, let me go there for a minute. When this Word of God was written, we did not have video. We did not have cell phones. We did not have the way of connecting with each other. Now, we need to love each other and lift each other up. But in a time when we're having what amounts to a pandemic, and we're being told for the sake and health of other people, we're told to put others first, right? You know, love is the greatest commandment we have. I'm going to put others first. That means you think of other people. Well, if you don't, if you're coming together in a large group like that, you know full well the odds of you either contracting something or passing it on grows exponentially. And if you care about other people, you're going to figure out a way to do that without coming together in a group. You see where I'm at?
You know what has shocked me about this and other gatherings, because they're happening with other groups as well. I get why we don't want, and I don't know that we can suspend the Constitution, and I get why we don't want to do that. But what shocks me is if one person believes that this is the right thing to do, that there should be a meeting, I am shocked that the people who are coming don't say to themselves, because nobody's forcing them to be there, that they don't say, hey, this is not a good idea. I need to listen to the doctor. And this is one time I've got to stay home. It reminds me of people who live in the hurricane areas, who the people come on and they say, you need to evacuate, you need to get out of here, and some of them stay. I understand it, but boy, oh boy, we've just got to take this. If one person wants to go out on a limb and say we have to meet in big groups, I think at this point you have to just say, no, you're going to be there alone, and that's the best thing.
Well, excuse me. You know, I think that a lot of it comes back to, Scott, that there are people that you have a leader, okay? You have a pastor, you have a priest, whatever he may be, any kind of leader, really. And they say, this is what this says, and if we trust God, we are going to do this, okay? Then all of a sudden, you got a guilt factor coming in. What other people are going to say if I don't show up? Am I the one that doesn't trust God? And I think that you have a lot of that factor. I think right now there's a great responsibility put on those of us that lead a flock. And it has to do with getting on your knees, talking to the Lord every day, having the right judgment, saying the right thing, doing the right thing, and leading your flock in the right direction. And I know that in our particular case, I try to get on and do an encouraging note to everyone every day. We have encouraged people to stay home. On Sunday, there's a couple people that come that basically are there for two reasons. One, to help me set up to do it via live stream, which is on Community Christian Fellowship Facebook page. The live stream. And the other thing is to help you on it. It's honest with you, it's kind of hard to preach a message with no one out there. So if I even have one or two people sitting outside, you know, in the congregation, you know, one on each end and one in the middle, I can preach in a way that I feel that I'm actually preaching to people. It's hard to preach to, I'll be honest, it's hard to preach to thin air. So for that reason, but no one's coming together. We are disinfecting like crazy. And washing and keeping distances, and I really encourage people to do that, and don't go going out to the stores and running around and doing those things, and then come into a place like a church or where people or any place of gathering. You know, we have to be smart. Someone said something about making sure your hands are covered, or you have something on your hand when you pump gas. I think that's a great thing. How many people have grabbed that gas pump? I'll just stop in somewhere and get a cup of coffee and go out, a gas station or somewhere. How many people have touched that coffee pot or that door handle? And this stuff transfers. And all we got to do is be wise, if you think about it. And they're trying to, you know, back to originally what our the health department said, you know, and not having the respirators and that kind of thing. Honestly, the more we do this stuff we're told to do, the more that the lower that bulge is going to be. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to save as many lives as possible. And if people would just understand, it may be your neighbor, it may be your parent, it may be your child, you know. I mean, there's a lot of 8-year-old people with 60-year-old kids out there, or 50-year-olds or 40-year-olds, and quit being so self-centered and do what you're told to do. And I'll tell pastors that, too. You know, our congregation has stayed in touch. I can pick up my phone anytime and talk to people. Other leaders in our church can do that. I've dropped prescriptions off at houses. Our Prospect Pharmacy has a drive-through. You just drive in, pick it up, and go. And you can do these kind of things. I saw something the other day, and I actually posted it. It said, the church is not closed, it's just been deployed. And I think that's wonderful, and that's the way it should be. We may be reaching more homes now than we ever did. And every pastor I know is going live every day and talking to his people. And they're live streaming. And you know what's really cool about it is I get to listen to other pastors, too, that I never get to listen to, because I'm in the pulpit. But all those things, see, that's the whole point. There's no point in the grandstanding. And I would almost say it's grandstanding when these people are demanding to come together. It's not good for your people. It's not good for the general public. And I think it's a horrible example as what a Christian should be doing. And, we're not forsaking the assembling together. We are assembling together in a way that was never even possible when the Word of God was written. And we're doing it by, now, to give you an example, if we were forsaking that, the assembling together, what we'd be doing is when the pastor's live streaming the message, they go, not watch it, not have anything to do with it, you know. Then you're in that situation. But, the hardest thing for me right now, even though, I mean, my family, we are huggers, man. I mean, we're a very demonstrative family when it comes to our love and emotion. And I don't know if anyone saw it on my Facebook page, but the other morning, after the day after my sister-in-law had passed away, Shirley's really, obviously having a hard time with that. Well, my grandkids so much, and my kids wanted to come over and just hug her, and but it's that whole distance thing. And we have so many of them. Well, they showed up early afternoon, and like a parade, all their vehicles coming in at the exact same time, and they had all done posters that said "We love you, Nana," that kind of stuff. And they stood around the front yard, holding these posters, telling their grandmother how much they loved her, and what a wonderful show of love and compassion. But see, there's things that you can do if you just want to do them.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because I saw a message this morning that I thought was very interesting. And it was somebody who's under quarantine right now, who can't be around people. And they knew a cereal. The friend of theirs knew a cereal that they liked. So they went to the store this morning, bought their cereal, ran up on their doorstep, left it on the doorstep, rang the doorbell, and left. And I thought, that's a nice thing.
Absolutely. Another thing I think, when you mention stores are scary places too. What I would suggest people is that definitely younger people do your shopping for you if they can. Our kids messaged me and said, "Mom and Dad, you're not going to the store. If you need anything, let us know. Someone will get it." But I would even encourage them and everyone to, rather than running to the store, try to compile everything that you can think you're going to need in one trip and try to do it that way. The less amount of traffic that way is better too. And please just continue the hand washing. And everyone, we're going to get through this. But those people that are saying, this is just a big a conspiracy thing, and there's not that serious. Tell somebody that just lost a 40-year-old spouse that got so sick so fast and died, or in that situation, that it's just a big conspiracy thing. And, they'll find that it's not. This is going to be worse before it gets better. The hardest thing I'm having to do is not have my grandkids and my children around, because they're around all the time. Some people don't have theirs around, and I feel for them anyway, but our family is extremely close, and quite frankly, I never let any grass grow underneath my feet. I'm running around all the time, and to be, for the most part confined, I am going into the church, but to be confined is very difficult, and we've got other logistical issues of, getting the meals out to the people that can't get take-up, having the proper protective wear, we do that, not going in the homes. And older people don't understand when they ask you to step in a minute and you tell them, "Sorry, but I can't." You know what I mean? Most do, but some don't. And, they look forward to that contact also. But, I would just really, I want people to understand the seriousness of this, but I really struggle with the people that will get on the air, come on TV or whatever, and really make it sound like this is the end. And sometimes in what they do, that's exactly what they do. You know, with all the warnings and stuff that we've talked about this morning, I will also say this, that God loves us. God didn't bring this on. You know, God's there for us. He's there for us when these things happen. But we have to understand that we need to trust him. And even when things happen in families, we continue to trust him through it. And you know, if you have that faith to hold on to and the hope, I don't know what you do out there today with no hope. It's going to be the stick. I don't think any of the stimulus is going to hit for, what, a couple more weeks?
I think so, about 3 weeks.
There's going to be a lot of people real broke in the next 3 weeks. I think the people that work in food service and different things are already hitting it. It's like, uh-oh. And, you know, I don't know. In the next few weeks, we're going to see a lot of difficulty. But love your family. Stay home. If you need something, call a place that may be able to get it to you. I know the pantries are still working. There's still food out there. Find out the different places that are doing meals around and whatnot. And you might have to let some vices go for a while. I don't think that would hurt anyone anyway. Do you?
I don't think so. It's an interesting thing because I think we're all trying to weigh this. We are going to get through it, and there will be an end to it, and it's not the end of the world. But I think the problem has been that I still don't think people quite get the severity of it. And because they don't understand the severity of it, it's making it more severe. There will be an end, and we will come through it. But how much damage is going to be done? And I think the lighter touch we keep giving this, I can tell the seriousness in the voices of the people that I talk to, whether it's a politician or a doctor. The tone is getting more serious week by week.
Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I don't know, Scott. I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that the people are getting it. I mean, you drive around, man. It's a ghost town at night. Like, I was coming in Route 4 Saturday afternoon from delivering some meals to some shut-ins. And I came up Route 4 from, like, the Richwood area up towards Marion. And I never passed a vehicle, and there was none behind me. And on a Saturday afternoon, normally it's a freeway. And I really do believe, I know that when I drive through Prospect, in any town, I mean, it's Route 47, you know, that's a busy route, Route 203, it's dead. The only people that you see are going to the pharmacy, the gas station, or the Dollar General. I mean, and you'll see vehicles there, but as far as just people out and about and visiting, it's pretty dead. I think people are getting it. I think they're it's getting to the point that they're really starting to get it because they're hearing of people they know that have had it.
I will, I'll tell you, this last week, I did notice the grocery stores got less busy. I did notice the traffic is a little thinner than it was, even when the stay-at-home order first went into effect. I have noticed that, so I really do. I hope people are getting it. I really do, because that's the only way that this viral infection is going to be able to be quelled. But how many people are already infected? I don't know.
I think even with a lot of the leaders and the politicians, I think that you know, they have a duty to encourage. You know, they know they need to help people get through this, even with the severity. It's kind of like, would you want a doctor that had no bedside manner?
Yeah, of course not. I say, of course not.
Of course not. But they've got to find that balance between bedside manner and sheer panic. If you had a doctor that walked in and told you, hey, you know, I know you're going to feel this way, and it's going to get a lot worse, and you'll probably die from it. It's possibility you won't. But I wouldn't want a doctor like that. And I think that, you know, people are beginning to really grasp the severity of this. Because you'll see on the news somebody, wow, are you kidding me, that person died? Or, you know, the Joe Diffie thing the other day. You know, a lot of people. That comes home to people that recognize that figure. And it's just not older people that are dying. You know, initially, that's the way they were making it sound. Like, it was just going to be the nursing home crowd that was on the edge anyway. And then all of a sudden, you know, now you're seeing, I've got grandkids, I'll be honest with you, they're scared to death. They're not only scared to death, but their biggest fear is giving it to, passing it on to their family or their parents or grandparents. And, I mean, my grandsons for 2 weeks now won't even get close to me. And they turn their head if they speak. Of course, I'm not seeing them now. But, you know, they're keeping that distance. And I think you'll see, we're going to see a lot more of that. I think in the long run when we get through this, I think there's going to be good. There's always good that comes out of everything. And I think that there's a lot of people realizing they can function as a family without all the things they were doing before. And I think that's a real positive to come out of it. I think there's people that are going to understand the how important it is to see family members because they can't see them now. And how there's just going to be a lot of different things. I think that we're going to have make sure that we have more things available when these kind of things can hit. It's just going to be real interesting. I don't know if my use got, but I'll tell you what, I am ready to be done with it. Oh. And I think everyone's ready to be done with it. It looks like we got a road to go and a ways to go. I don't know how things are going to pan out in the long run. I know that my God reigns and he's in control. And the thing is that, you know, we've been through in the world, we've been through pandemics, we've been through wars, we've been through so many different things. And we get through them, and we come back, and we usually come back stronger than we were. And I think one of the reasons we come back stronger is because it allows people a chance to hit that reset button. Because we were, you know, our society was becoming a runaway train when it came to spending, to having to have things constantly to make us feel good, that everything had to tickle our emotions constantly, and it makes the base weaker. It makes our base weaker when everything up top is carrying the load. And I think that when we reset and come back and strengthen our base, strengthen, put some roots down that make sense, and strengthen that, and begin to realize that we do need God again. I think what happens then when you come out of that, you get a whole lot of new growth. You get a stronger building. And I want to give that message to people. I don't want to give the message to people like, oh, everything's rosy. Just go out and do what you want. No, stay home. Just stay home. And I would encourage some of those businesses that may be deemed essential because they fit a category that they know themselves they really aren't, to think about that real hard. Because there's businesses that can squeeze into a category that are deemed essential, but they know because of their clientele and what they're currently doing that they're not essential. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, and I hope people get to that point, and that's one of the things I do worry about, and you have hope, and I have hope, and we'll get through it, but I just hope, there's the word, that people really have grasped the seriousness of this, and people are seeing what it can do and how quickly it can act, and I hope one of the things that comes out of this that I've heard nobody mention is, I hope after this is over, we start paying more attention to things that go on outside of the United States, because we don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. And the week that this all hit, you know, if you go back to the newspapers on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of the week that this hit, You will find very few media outlets, newspapers, magazines, internet sites that were talking about this in any great detail. And if they were, it was not on the front page. Well, it sure is now.
And I think you're right. And I think that we also need to pay attention to, we need to, you know, having systems in place that we can, if we need to do a quick shutdown of that traffic back and forth, that we do. In my personal feeling right now, I don't think anyone should be traveling anywhere. It just is not a smart thing to do. And I don't think we should be a... Why in the world do you want people on an airplane? You know, what a confined area. And we're all breathing the same air. And, you know, it's really interesting. The cruise ship business are talking about... What about the cruise ship business? You know, most of those cruise ships are licensed under other countries to avoid our taxes. So I really feel kind of funny about bailing them out anyway, to be honest with you. But we need to just start paying attention to some things and just what's important, Scott? And I know that's entered your mind lately. What's really important and what's things that aren't so important? How's our buddy Terry doing? I miss seeing him.
Yeah, you know, doing well as far as I know. I've made contact with him a few times, and I think he's basically, you know, trying to relax and stay healthy during this situation. I know he's been doing a little bit of work, but, you know, everybody here, as far as I know, is in good condition. I talk with everybody on a pretty regular basis, at least once a week. So we're good at this point, and, you know, hopefully we can continue to do this. There's never more than one or two people in the office, which is good. We're not keeping office hours at this point for people from the outside to come in, which is good, and we'll get through it.
Hey, I do want to share that we're going to have our Easter service, which is wonderful. We have gotten a clearance in Prospect. We are going to I'll tell you, let's just put it this way. We're going to be doing our Easter service with people staying in their automobiles. And how cool is that?
That's interesting.
As it's set up more, I'll give you more details. But I think that's pretty neat that there's a couple churches that have been doing that. And matter of fact, I need to give me a call when the show's over. When you get a minute, I've got to ask you something about that. as far as getting it out there. But anyway, no, I mean, there's ways you can do it. There's ways you can reach people. A friend of mine, the pastor over at Genoa in Westerville, they had their whole parking lot full. People stayed in their cars, and they went to a radio station that he spoke from, and he stood there, everybody was together, they could see each other, and it was a gathering of sorts, right?
Absolutely.
So we can do these things without violating things and risking hurting other people. I don't think God wants us to do that at all. And I don't think it's a good show of Christian love to do it. I think it's a show of stubbornness. And that's just me, so if someone wants to call and chew me out about that, and they're more than welcome to. But you know, I stand pretty firm on that one. They can let me have it all they want. I don't answer to them anyway.
Well, I do want to let people know, because I forgot to do this last week, that this show does repeat. If you've joined in the middle or at the end, you can hear this show every Wednesday from 3:10 to 4 p.m. and also repeats on Sunday morning from 8:10 until 9 a.m. And, of course, it's live every Tuesday from 5:10 until 6 p.m. And if you miss it in all of those places, you can go to the website, wwgh1071.com, and go to the program archives, and all the shows are under there, so you can take a listen in all those ways.
That sounds great. Are we out of time?
We're out of time.
God bless you, buddy. You take care.
Thank you, Pastor.
Bye.
Bye-bye.